Well, I'm building a wraparound front porch. Yes, it's going to wrap around the house from one side all the way to the other. It's going to be beautiful. I'm building this wraparound porch at our house, but the funny thing about our house is that we don't actually own it, we rent it. So we're enhancing the value of the house, not that it's going to make any difference for us. But we're not doing it for my dad, because my dad owns the house. I'm not doing a wraparound porch for him, I'm doing it for me. And the other funny thing is I already have a front porch, and it's covered and it's nice, but it doesn't wrap around the house. And so I'm going to add on to the front porch and wrap the porch all the way around the house. Why would I do that? Why would I spend the money to buy all the building materials, go home, cut wood on the sawmill as well? I mean, I've got marks on my arms from where the wood damaged my skin. I'm working hard to build this wraparound porch and spending a lot of money on it. Wood is not cheap, but I'm spending the money on it. Why? Why would I do that? The whole and complete and total purpose of building a wraparound porch, my house that I rent, is so that I can sit on the front porch, the wraparound part, in my Cracker Barrel rocking chair, which was a gift from John and Cheryl Sparks. More gifts are welcome all the time. I can't get through 5 minutes without asking for a handout, but I want to sit on my wraparound porch with my mason jar full of sweet iced tea with lemon and sit there and relax and refresh. And in order to relax and refresh myself, I'm going to go through a lot of hard work and money because it's going to be worth it to me. You may think that's crazy, but don't pretend like you don't do it. Because you all do it in your house. You work like a dog so that you can have some refreshment and relaxation. Maybe you wouldn't have to work so hard if you wanted relaxation so bad. And then it would kind of pan out. But people also do it every year. People go on vacations. They save up money or borrow $2,000. They get a week off work. They pack up screaming young children, get them into the car and their car seats, and then they get onto this plane that's cramped and you can't even stretch your legs out, and the kids are still screaming. And you fly in a plane for 10 hours to some exotic place overseas. You get jet lag because of it. You unpack screaming children. And then you live with the screaming children in a hotel room for a week, and you eat cheap food, and you cram your schedule as full as you possibly can with activities every moment of the day, and we call that relaxing and refreshment. And people do this all the time. There's this interesting thing about this need for being refreshed. But what do you think of when you think of the word refreshing? Anybody? Okay, I think, can someone turn that to black, please, so that we don't look at the map the whole time? But when I think of the word refreshing, I think a slender glass of Coca-Cola. Don't you? I mean, that's the mark for refreshing. Beautiful, sleek glass bottle, the red label, and the swirling white letters that say, Coca-Cola. And you watch the commercial and someone's like, oh, it's just so refreshing. I don't even like the taste of Coca-Cola, to be honest. But I will buy one every so often because I believe that they sell refreshment. And I think, oh, this is so refreshing. Doesn't it taste like good, but it's so refreshing. And there's this interesting thing we have, this longing for refreshing. We do. And that is something that's given to us by God. I don't know about you, but I often, very often, get discouraged and feel all dried up inside. Does that ever happen to anybody else?
Yes.
It happens to me probably every week or every other week. And I just, you know, you just feel dried up, you feel weary, and you feel like, well, what's the point? You know what I'm talking about, the days where you wake up and you're already defeated before you wake up. and you think somehow you failed while you were sleeping. Or the days that you wake up and coffee doesn't even sound like it's going to be good at that moment. And you want to just go back to sleep, but you know that sleep isn't really that satisfying either. It's just a form of escape. And you're dry on the inside. You know the feeling. Or when you go to work and you see the same people and they talk about the same things and it never changes, like politics or the weather or how dry Montana is and how much we need moisture. And all the time you're thinking, I need moisture in my soul because this life is getting so boring. Or maybe, you know, not everyone here works, so maybe you're bored with retirement. Anyone bored with retirement? Maybe you've already built your house, you've already built your wraparound porch, but you're thinking, maybe I should just tear down my wraparound porch so I can build a new wraparound porch, maybe with a covering on it this time so it'll be more refreshing. We all have this. Or, here's the big one, one of the big ones. You come to church again, and you sing some songs, it's great, and again, Joseph comes up to the front, and he says, isn't it just such a beautiful day? Isn't God good? And you just think, would you shut up? Because you say the same thing every week. And I know it's a beautiful day, and I know that God's created this day for us, and I know that we're supposed to enjoy it, but I'm just dry right now. Do you ever feel like that? Because I feel like that. Sometimes we go home and after church, and I'm just kind of like, and he's like, what's wrong? Oh, it's the announcements today. They were terrible. I'm the one who gave them. And they're the same announcements week after week. So we need to be refreshed, and we all feel like that. Things need to be refreshed. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever walked past someone downtown, and their clothes haven't been refreshed in about 3 weeks? When things aren't refreshed, they stink. Or someone with a cast. You know, I mean, cast are terrible things, and they never change them. I mean, you have a broken arm and they change your cast like one time. And the whole time your arm is just in the cast and it's not refreshed. And it stinks, it feels terrible, it's clammy, and it's lifeless. And that's how our lives get when we are not refreshed. We begin to stink, our attitudes begin to stink, we're kind of clammy and lifeless. But there's good news, because we are not the first generation in the history of the world to struggle with this. God knows that we need to be refreshed.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about both physical and spiritual refreshing, and it's full of stories about people who were refreshed by the Lord. The Lord provided things that often refresh us in three different aspects. The physical aspects. He refreshes us physically by wonderful things like sleep and food and liquid and air, fresh air, exercise. Those things refresh us physically. We go to sleep, we wake up, and except for those really bad days, we wake up thinking, you know, I can probably make it through another day because that sleep was refreshing. Or he provides things that refresh us emotionally, like quietness or the beauty of creation. It's just, you know, we're in Montana and it's beautiful out there. Or the four seasons, which sometimes some are longer than others, but they're refreshing. When there's a new season, it's refreshing. Like, everyone is probably actually feeling moderately refreshed right now because it didn't snow today.
Yeah, right.
And so this is probably an out-of-season message, but nevertheless, it's what the Lord gave me for today. Another thing that refreshes us emotionally is humor. I mean, you know, you laugh and you feel a little better. Or music, of course, and people refresh you. When you're with people, you talk to people. It's refreshing to talk to people. So these are all wonderful things that God gave us, gifts from God to refresh us physically and emotionally. But overriding, beyond those things, way beyond those things, is the need to be refreshed spiritually. And if you don't have spiritual refreshment, then your life will have a huge gaping hole that wants to be filled with something. And whether you have all of these other physical and emotional refreshments and a big bottle of Coca-Cola on your front porch, if you don't have spiritual refreshment, you will be dry completely and shrivel up. You will stink and you just need refreshment. But there's good news, because God has told us in His Word how to be refreshed. Isn't that good news, right? how to be refreshed spiritually. And so we all should be thinking, this is good. I want to be refreshed spiritually so that I can live a life full of refreshment. And it's in the Bible in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted. By the way, my message today is not on repentance, even though Brad said that. It's really not. It's on refreshing. It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing always and only comes from the presence of the Lord. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and he had the physical need for refreshment as well. He said, he went up to the well, there's a woman that came out, and said, give me something to drink. And that started this conversation, which he said, well, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and you know the story. But he says to her, after talking to her, he says, whosoever drinks of your water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I have, I will give him, and he will never go thirsty. But the water that I will give him will be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life, a well of life inside of you. In John chapter 7, it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, let him, anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. There is only refreshing, there is only satisfaction in the presence of the Lord. Isaiah says in chapter 44, I will pour out my water on him that is thirsty, and I will pour out floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. The Spirit of God is to paint a picture of it, God uses water to pour out water on a dry and thirsty ground. And so often in our life, we are dry and crusty, and we're thirsty, and we want God to pour out his Spirit on us so that we have some life, so that we have some fruit, for one thing. You know, we always talk about how dry it is in Montana, and yes, it's terrible. It's dry, and it's an awful thing. But sometimes we miss that when we're not careful, there becomes this dryness in our heart, and the ground gets hard. Sometimes the ground in our life does not want to be refreshed by water, because you know what happens when water falls on hard ground? The ground gets soft. It gets a little mushy, and then if someone walks on it, it leaves a mark. So it's almost like this picture of it's kind of a little bit painful for the ground, but the ground is, of course, revitalized and strengthened. But when it's hard, you know, you can't really hurt the ground. I mean, when it was frozen out here, we tried to dig a hole for that sign with Pete's auger and
one of those pounding things.
And, you know, you can't do anything to it. But when the ground is watered, or when our lives are watered by God's Spirit, you know, we're much more vulnerable than we would be otherwise. But times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Ultimately, it's good for the ground. And don't you want to be revitalized? Because I know I should do. Because I need to be revitalized, to look at life through new eyes. And so we can do that, but how? Well, I mean, it's the whole point of the sermon. Refreshing comes always from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. But it has to be done his way. And that's where it gets a little bit more tricky. Because everyone says, yeah, I want to be refreshed. I mean, yes, I would like to be refreshed. But it has to be done his way. And his way is right there in 3:19. It says, repent and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing will come. So that's Old English, you know, repent. It sounds like this rough word, but repent means to change your mind about something. And I'm sure you've heard that. Repent has this idea of a 180 turn. It's a changing your mind about something and agreeing with God about it. And the word be converted is literally turn around. So to repent and be converted is to change your mind, agree with God, and turn around towards Him. Turn back towards Him and follow after Him. God says, if you turn to me, He says this in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, He says, if you turn to me, I will turn to you. It's as simple as that. Amen. If you just convert, you know, I'm thinking of things the wrong way, I'm going to go towards the Lord. He's there. It's so cool. The problem, though, is one thing that often keeps us from the presence of God, and it's not a fun thing to talk about, but is pride. In 1 Peter it says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. But there's this thing that loves to creep up on us, that's, you know, came from the garden, sin nature. This is pride. But, you know, pride exalts itself. So God is high and lofty, but pride kind of brings yourself up to the level with God, or maybe not even to the level with God, but certainly to the level above these low people. You know, pride gets in the way, and God, He doesn't like pride. He hates it. He resists it. You know, it's a turnoff to God. And I have to repent of pride all the time. Because all the time I'm reading this wonderful book, and I see something that I'm not, you know, I don't think that way. And I see it, and, oh, Lord, I haven't been thinking that way. I need to change the way I think things. Because, obviously, He wrote the Word, and the Word is right, and He is right. And so when I repent, it's a change my mind. I'm sorry, Lord. I was looking at this the wrong way. And oftentimes my pride gets in the way. And because our pride is what keeps us doing things the way we do them, by golly. I've done it this way for a long time, and I'm going to keep doing it. I focused on myself. And pride often will hinder us from singing out loud or singing at all. I mean, you know, it's touching ground, but pride will keep us from lifting our hands in worship because, you know, you don't want people to look at you. You know, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing. I mean, what will they think of me if they see me raising my hands in worship or singing out loud? Or the Bible is full of these wonderful things that bless the Lord that we don't do because we're proud. Like, have you ever thought about bowing? Yeah, one day in heaven we're up and bow before the throne of God, and we sing these songs and say, "We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord. We bow down and we worship You, Lord." But we don't do it. And why not? Well, because, I mean, we're going to do it. But, you know, if I bow down, I mean, then people are going to see me on my knees. And when you're on your knees, that's a humble position. I mean, if you get attacked, there's not much you can do about it if you're on your knees. Not that someone in church is going to attack you. But it's when you're on your knees, it's like this reminder that, oh yeah, God is up there, and I'm down here. And I am not high and lofty, but God is high and wonderful. And I'm just saved. I'm just, you know, I haven't done anything to add any merit to my life, but He has. You know, pride will often say that's not my style. And pride always has this tendency to look down. And humility, God gives grace to the humble. Humility is like what we talked about with the servant on the pole. It's looking up. It's not looking down on people, certainly. But it's really not even looking to the side, you know, to see, well, what are they doing? Oh, maybe I should do that too. No, humility is looking up at the Lord because it's all Him and you. That's what I want in my life, is a humble spirit that sees only the Lord and can't tell if anyone else is worshiping Him or not because I'm too busy focused on Him. And we need to change our mind about how we don't look at things the way God looks at them. And that, you know, we've been talking, my dad has been talking about the Holy Spirit lately. It's kind of a touchy subject, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and saying, well, but, you know, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you when you're saved, and yes, of course, it's true, and so what's this filling of the Holy Spirit, and it seems a little bit weird, and it seems, you know, it's scary, and we just don't know about it, you know? It's just, it's kind of confusing. But we have to change our mind, even with that, and think about it the way God thinks about it, because God does not think the Holy Spirit is scary. He's not afraid of the Holy Spirit. God does not think that the Holy Spirit is weird. I mean, we have read some stories in the Bible, and God told people to do some weird things. But God doesn't think that's weird, because His ways are so much higher than our ways, and He has much more understanding than we do. And maybe we don't understand, but really, if you think about it, since when do we understand that much about God? I mean, to be honest, to be perfectly honest with you, we can study His Word and get this understanding about Him and say, yes, I know this, but God is so up here, and we're so not, that we really don't have much understanding of Him exactly. We just look to Him and keep following Him. So, because we don't understand, we need to change the way we look at it, though, and be open to whatever the Lord wants to do through us. Our prayer should be, Lord, I don't want my pride to get in the way. Lord, You're exalted and I'm not, and You know best and I don't. And that's humility. And when you humble yourself and ask the Lord, just say, Lord, do whatever You want in my life, as long as You give me Your presence. So whatever it takes to give me Your presence, Lord, I want Your presence. I want Your refreshing. I want You, God. You know, presence, the word for presence is the same word for face. So when that Bible verse goes on the wall says, if they will seek my face, it's the same word as presence. They will seek my presence. We want to see the face of the Lord. You know, and you know the story with Moses. When he sees the face of God, then it just, his face just shines. I mean, that's about as refreshed as you can get. So we need to pray, and I challenge you to pray this week. Set inhibitions aside about, well, you know, what's this infilling of the Holy Spirit? What is all this? Set all that aside and say, Lord, I want to see things the way You see them. Yeah. I don't have all the answers, but I want Your presence, God. Would You fill me with Your presence? So that a result of that is the times of refreshing will come, because times of refreshing always come from the presence of the Lord. And I believe if you do that, and if I do that this week, that times of refreshing will, in fact, come from the presence of the Lord. Brother Bill, would you mind going ahead and getting the communion ready? Whoever's doing communion this today, if you could begin to pass that out there. I want us all. And when could you come up? Let us all to experience the presence of the Lord. And we're going to share communion today. And communion is this beautiful picture of what the Lord has done for us. You know, and I don't want to harp too much on you know, how to get rid of pride, but it says, repent and be converted. So it says, change your mind and turn towards God so that times of refreshing will come. Because that's when we put ourselves not first and ask the Lord to give us His presence. That's when, I mean, that's, you know, you experienced it. The refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord.
There is a, you know, I really wanted this message to stick. And so a couple weeks ago I knew that I was going to be talking about the times of refreshing, the times of the presence of the Lord, and I really wanted it to stick, and I was just began to worship the Lord as I often do. I'll start playing the piano by myself when He closes all the doors, and just begin to worship the Lord, and it's sweet to Him, I think. And so I wrote this song because I wanted to make it easy to remember, and it's not the song that's on the board right now. Punchline, so I wrote the song. It's Times of Refreshing. put to three chords. But it's not really a song that you sing in church. I mean, that would be embarrassing if I showed you all my song that I wrote, because that's like the deepest part of my heart, and it's not even that good. So I found this other song. I decided not to sing this song. I found this other song that is beautiful, that was written by an actual musician, and it's about the times of refreshing. So would you stand on this, please? We're going to take communion, and then we're going to sing the song. But as we pray, I want to, I did this in the first service, I want to change my mind about things that may not line up with God's will. And I don't know what all those things are, but I believe that He will show me as I submit myself to Him. Because I want His grace to abound to me. So I want to be humble. The Lord is so far above us, and I want us to have a heart that just wants to receive of Him whatever He will give, because the humble person is really the person who receives, not the person who kicks themselves around, not the person who looks at themselves and says, I'm no good, I'm not good enough for God's presence. That's a proud person. It's pride in disguise, but it's a proud person. The humble person just receives from the Lord, and I want to receive from Him today. And part of receiving from Him is this beautiful picture of what He did for us on the cross when He broke His body and He shed His blood for us. And we want to remember Him in that as we enter into His presence. Lord, we thank You for Your body that You broke for us. Thank You that it paid for our sins. Thank You that You paid the price, Lord, and all we have to do is accept it and receive it. Lord, to know that we can't earn it by ourselves. We can earn nothing by ourselves, but You are the one who gives. We want to receive Your this picture, this little picture of Your body working for us, Lord, now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank You for Your blood that was shed for us, that healed us and paid for every sin ever, Lord. And that all we have to do is believe and receive, Lord. So we thank You for Your blood that You poured it out. Just thank You for filling us with Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You for Your blood in Jesus' name. So I want to teach you this song because at the end of the day, times of refreshing come in the presence of the Lord. And does anyone, I need to be refreshed. I know a lot of you probably do. I don't care if you raise your hand or not, but we need God's presence. And His presence is fullness of joy. And that is right in our pleasures forevermore. And we need His touch today. So let's just put ourselves on hold and seek Him. Sing the song to Him.
My soul is restored.
Mm-hmm.